The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, gang, we are back and we are going to talk about this episode. But first, let's do 45 minutes of nothing before we talk about this. Let's just bring some guests out. Let's, you know, kind of reflect on what we've done in past podcasts, because we don't really have enough material to fill this whole podcast.
Maybe take a sonogram or two.
Why not? Let's do it. That's appropriate television. Yeah, boy, this is 4 hours of TV with an hour and a half of content. But I guess let's dive into it.
Let's dive in.
Let's talk about let's that hour and a half.
Let's dive into paradise.
Ooh, back to paradise again. It's like we never left because we spent 4 hours here last week, too.
Yeah, it is. I'm having a hard time remembering what happens from week to week, because I feel like we like watch it and then we podcast about it, and each night is, you have to watch it two nights in a row. It all just blends together.
Right, in a big mess of vaguely interesting drama.
So when we get into this episode, the guys are vying for roses, right?
That's right. They're still vying for roses. The big cliffhanger was Dean and Christina when we first pick up on Monday.
Right.
And so we're back to that again. But also, the big news, the big seismic shock that happens is that Adam steps into paradise. And initially I was going to be very proud of him for resisting the temptation to bring AJ the dummy, because he doesn't walk in with it. But then
later,
who's sleeping in the bed? AJ.
You would have been disappointed if Adam had come and had not brought AJ.
I would have been so pissed.
You would have been.
If AJ wouldn't have been here. We were just talking last week about people going back to the same well. I guess I would have taken it if AJ was like dressed for paradise, or if there was some kind of...
AJ's always dressed for paradise.
AJ lives in paradise. Yeah. It's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
And that's somewhere like Adam. Where AJ I feel is. Like we're seeing more of Adam in the 2 hours of paradise than we saw in the entire season of Rachel's Bachelorette.
It would be impossible to see less of Adam than we saw in the Bachelorette. No, I agree. This is our chance. Like, Matt and Adam are finally getting their chance to shine. I'm still not sure what exactly Rachel saw in them that kept them so long.
Yeah.
Both seem a little bland.
No,
to
I don't
me.
Know either.
Yeah.
Really, a lot of. Because Dickie, I haven't been that impressed with. Like, I like him. I think he's cute, but I feel like.
I was more impressed with Dickie in the Bachelorette.
Yeah, because you saw his stylish socks.
That's right.
Like, he kept a cool head.
Yeah.
He seems fine. Mm-hmm. So Lacey, at the beginning of this episode, is complaining that the guys just want bro time instead of romances. And that does seem to be true. Like, I think that one reason why maybe we're not seeing the guys shine is that they just don't really give a shit.
Right. They don't seem to. I mean, what we saw of the guys doing was lifting weights. Mm-hmm. And Alex telling Iggy, dude, I'm super impressed with how jacked you are.
They cut the camera away right when Alex was shooting steroids into Iggy's ball sack.
Right, that was really what should have shut down production. That's fine. That's totally fine.
Well, but we also had the conversation, or I guess I made the comment to you. I think that's one of the risks that they run when they do a season like this, where like all these guys like each other. It would be like if right. you and all your rec comp bros got
it's exactly,
thrown into an island of beautiful women. Yep. Y'all wouldn't care.
It's exactly what would happen.
Excuse me, ladies. We got to talk a little bit about Kenneth Burke.
I'm super impressed how jacked your scholarship is right now, bro.
Are you interested in co-authoring?
Right, that's it's not a rose so much as like you get some kind of publication at the end of it.
Oh gosh.
Oh Jesus, what a terrible show that would be. Thank goodness that's not a television program. Let's return to the actual show.
No, but I want to say something on that, on my comment about them. I understand why they choose people from only like the last two seasons,
right.
But I think that's a mistake. I think it would be a much more interesting show if like Jake Pavelka shows up, and some like random girl from Matt Grant's season, like that's what I want to see.
I agree, though she would be 50 years old.
Well,
so
be it.
I'm here for paradise.
Does anyone want a hard candy?
I gotta lay down. I'm getting hot flashes.
We can have all the sex we want. I can't get pregnant. It's your mom suddenly. Your mom is in paradise. No,
that's too much. That was a bridge too far.
Oh, it's too much? That's too much?
I can't handle it.
Ryan, will you run some sunscreen on my back?
I brought a teeny bikini.
I don't want to burn.
Anyway. No, I agree, though. I think it would be more interesting because it is just them, like, hanging out. And clearly, it would be more interesting if some of the conflicts carried over. Like, they tried to do that last year with Evan and Chad. You know, if it's like, ooh, are these conflicts going to boil over? But none of them are boiling over. Like, they
don't care. I mean, I feel like everybody hated Josh last year, and that was helpful because that gave people somebody to kind of dislike. Like, it's fine. I think it's good that they all seem to just genuinely enjoy each other and that they're all getting along, but it makes for boring television.
Right. It's a boring show. Well, let's get into some of the boring things that happened.
Adam, as you said, Adam shows up. Danielle M. says that she would go on a date with Adam. Danielle M., you'd go on a date with anybody.
Right.
Like, what are you doing here?
Not much. Yeah, that problem will be fixed.
Oh, I have to leave paradise to go work in Africa.
I'm in love with Wells.
Oh, yeah. I'm 31. Too old, Danielle. Too
Get
old.
Get out of here.
You don't deserve Wells.
Nobody deserves Wells.
So, we never got to see. They kept showing in the previews. You good?
I'm good. Yeah, scratching
got something
my nose
in your
a little bit.
Was that
no,
a,
was
scratch?
A scratch? No, that was a scratch. Yeah, absolutely.
Elbow deep in that scratch.
No, that was a scratch.
There was a little bit of a pick. you distracted me.
Expertly, the art of diversion. Now I can bring up my thing.
Oh, they kept showing a preview of Danielle M., like, holding her breasts and being like, you like these? They aren't real. Which was one of the reasons why, frankly, I was not crazy about her because they kept showing that. But they didn't ever actually play that. Yeah.
Unless that happened. We also need to mention, because this is going to come up at some point, our episode was rudely interrupted by Trump talking about Afghanistan.
Thanks, Trump.
Yeah, thanks, Trump. You ruined everything.
Icing on the cake.
Right. That is, if everything else wasn't enough, no, you're butting into our show.
It's too far, Trump.
So we think we got an ABC.com the next day, and I think we filled in the missing pieces, but there was maybe some narrative sophistications that were lost in our piecemeal viewing of this.
As usual. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Does Benzie have a dog?
You know, I haven't heard anything about that. Here's another question. If Benzie had a dog and Raven had a dog and they were a week apart, would that be a reason for them to get together, do you think?
Would that be, and this actually is a question for you. So for those of you who don't know, Ryan wrote his dissertation on irony. Ben claims that that's ironic.
It is not.
Is that not irony?
That is not ironic.
You sure?
Yes.
Isn't it ironic?
It is not ironic.
Don't you think?
Yeah, a little too ironic, maybe.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Yeah, I do not believe that that's under any definition of irony.
Can you even call it coincidental?
Barely. Two people have dogs that are of similar ages.
I feel sorry for anyone that knows their dog's exact birthday.
Now, do you, though? I mean, we had not a birthday party for our dog.
First of all, that's not we. That's you. You did that.
You participated.
Yeah. You made the giant poster.
You participated.
Yeah. You bought the party hats and the cake and the dog treats, and you made a giant poster at Kinko's. because that's what you do apparently when you are working to get tenure.
Right. I put that in my file. No, I would love to know our dogs' birthdays. I feel sorry for someone who talks about their dog's birthday frequently. And listen, we talk about our dogs a lot. We have a lot of songs about our dogs. I mean, the only thing that separates Anna and I from that couple on Best in Show is a recording studio. Like,
he's
that's
a
it.
Real relaxer.
And I guess we technically could record our songs right here.
God loves a terrier. Yes, he does. God loves a terrier. That's because small, sturdy, bright, and true. They give their love to you. God didn't miss a stitch. Be it dog or be it bitch. When he made the Norwich merrier with its cute little derriere. Yes, God loves a terrier.
But anyways, where were we?
All right. Ben Z says that he would like to go on a date with Raven because they both have dogs that are ironically a week apart. Raven tells Adam that she wants to be like Evan and Carly, to which I say, really? Like, really, you want somebody that's going to fake an illness?
Right.
And, like, their relationship was so awkward, and for 75% of their time in Paradise, Carly was just, like, hating herself for liking Evan.
And which, that's gotta be carrying
over. I feel you, girl.
Sure, yeah, I mean, you understand that. Evan and Carly coming on later, which we fast-forwarded through, is also answer to the question, how long can Florence Nightingale syndrome last? A year, at least, it appears.
Forever.
We'll see. Forever, yeah.
Forever.
That's like Marty McFly would have married his mom. Forever, based on that.
Yeah,
Florence
it's the same
Nightingale.
Thing.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
That's why she falls in love with him. She has Florence Nightingale.
She falls in love with him because it's Marty McFly and he's hot.
Even when it's your own child.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's before he got
old. That's right. That's why she falls in love with George McFly.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. That has nothing to do
with... It has everything.
It has literally nothing to do with
it. Everything to do with what we're talking about.
Adam asks out Raven. Christina is frustrated with Dean for good reason. Dean
good
is acting
Lord.
Like a dick.
Yeah.
I feel like we had a lot of suspicions going into this show that Dean was going to really put himself out there and shine and be an obvious choice for Bachelor. That is not the case.
That is false.
I think that America would be... angry if Dean gets picked for Bachelor. Chris Harrison,
served.
Take note.
Listen to us, Harrison.
Dean's a dick. Even Jack Stone throws some shade at him. He says that Dean is great if you're in middle school.
Well, and that's the thing. He is clearly immature.
Yes.
And you
oh
see that
God.
Throughout
yes.
this episode, or these two episodes. And just, he's not prepared to be the Bachelor. I mean, we'll get into some of the details later, but he's not prepared to handle the competing attentions of multiple women. And, I mean, who among us is?
He's barely able to handle attention from one woman. Like, before Danielle or D'Lo even shows up, I feel like Dean is playing games with Christina.
Right.
It's a risky gambit, buddy. Playing love games with a Russian.
With a Russian, whoa. Playing Russian roulette.
Whoa.
Yeah, Dean, she comes to talk to him. He's, like, sleeping in an awkward position on some sort of beach bed. And she comes to talk to him, and he, like, literally, like, rolls away. Like, he's, like, Homer Simpson rolling away from a conversation he doesn't want to have. And Christina's like, okay, good chat. Like,
and she keeps saying that, but, and this is getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I mean, Christina is clearly annoyed with him. He's acting like an asshole. What does she do? She gives him the rose.
Right.
And then she acts, like, shocked and pissed off the next day when D'Lo shows up and Dean, surprise, surprise, goes on a date with her and acts like a total dick. Like, what did you think he was going to do?
Right. Well, and the other thing is, you know, she's wedded to Dean and sticking with Dean. But I think she could get another guy interested in
her. Sure, Christina's cute.
Yeah.
I think she looks good in Paradise.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned that last week, and you kind of got on me about it a little bit. But she does look good in Paradise, gotta say.
Does she?
She does. See, I just said the same thing you said. I don't see what the difference is.
I want to say that Adam tells Raven when they go out on their date that they are literally going to have a blast.
Literally.
Really, Adam?
You're
going to blow shit up?
Are they going to blow up?
All right, Benzy is sad that Adam and Raven go out on a date because he feels that there's a spark with himself and Raven. Raven and Adam seem to have a good date. They go out, they make out a little bit, they dance. I thought it, you know, yeah. There was a spark there.
Is this
there.
Where I'm totally lost in my okay. notes. Is this where he accidentally says Rachel instead of Raven?
No, that was when he went out with, who did he go out with later in this episode? Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was great. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah. He accidentally calls Sarah Rachel.
Yeah.
Raven, I actually would have given him more of a pass on because Raven, Rachel.
Sure. Yeah.
But no, it was Sarah.
Yeah.
All right. We get to the rose ceremony. Robbie is wearing a terrible, like comically large turquoise bow tie with a black party shirt.
Yeah. No, it was a poor decision. Vinny wears a lucky rose shirt that's not so lucky.
Yeah. Robbie, so basically at the rose ceremony, at the cocktail party before the rose ceremony, all the guys are just desperately trying to secure roses.
None well, more than Alex.
I mean, I guess. I feel like they all seem pretty desperate.
Alex seemed particularly desperate.
Yeah,
to me.
As Jasmine says, he's thirsty.
He's thirsty. Yeah.
So this was interesting. Robbie is trying to get a rose from Amanda. I was not aware that Robbie and Josh, Amanda's ex-fiance, are close friends.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Did you watch the show?
I did watch the show. I guess I didn't catch that somehow.
Did you hear Robbie calling Josh anonymous?
That was my problem. I didn't know who they were talking about. No, I heard that whole conversation. I thought he meant the hacking collective anonymous.
That's actually Amanda's ex-fiance.
Right. She is engaged to an entire internet collective.
Didn't work out because she couldn't figure out how to kiss him around the mask.
No, that makes more sense. Yeah, I did not realize
Jesus.
What was going on.
I mean, why are we even doing this if you can't?
I got all kinds of notes
well,
in here. I can't follow some of the intricate sophistications of this plot.
So Robbie also asks for a kiss.
He asks for
oh
a kiss.
My God,
yeah.
It's so awkward. Oof. It's a terrible ask. Amanda turns him down quite awkwardly.
Yeah. Well, and she was like, it's just not the right moment. Is it? Like, when it's never going to be the right moment, Amanda.
Oh, no.
Oof, that, was it, that was kind. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for a kiss
but
yet,
it's funny because I feel like
said.
Robbie comes off it, like, all the guys are like, oh, man, Robbie's here, all this competition. You know, and I think Robbie himself kind of came in feeling very cock of the walk.
Oh, cock of the
walk. And he's
getting
cut down.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I have in my notes about this related to that, which is I always assume that maybe like 80% of men are just better with women than I am, like have more game, and certainly that like attractive men just are naturally good with women.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that that's not the case.
Oh,
you know?
I wouldn't go that far.
What? I'm not saying, all I'm saying is that it appears
if
from this.
If Robbie can't make it, then who could?
No, I'm just saying that because several of these guys struggle.
Yeah,
and my
yeah.
My assumption
no.
is that if you're attractive enough to go in The Bachelor, you
sure.
just know what you're doing.
You don't have any awkward moments. And,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Right. No, because, I mean, you're right. Alex is awkward and the girls are kind of making fun of him. Mm-hmm. Robbie is awkward.
Right.
All right, so we go through the roses. Dean, in a bold move, tells Christina before the rose ceremony that it's not working.
Right.
He wants to take a step back. And I actually, for as, you know, as much as Dean acts like an asshole through this entire episode or episodes, I respect him for, you know, telling her before she gives her rose to him. I think that was a...
Sure, right. That was a
honorable
mature
move. Yeah.
One of few, but it was
one
a mature
few.
Move. Yes.
Vinny, Iggy, Nick, and Alex are gone.
Gone. Dunzo.
I'm sad to see Vinny go. I like Vinny.
Well, and as I commented to you, it would be kind of sad to like return to Paradise as like an alumni and just get axed
yeah.
immediately. And I guess that also goes to what you're saying about like with this new blood, like these old people are irrelevant all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, people only care about the people who were on the shows the last two seasons.
I would choose Vinny over Jack Stone. Why does Jack Stone get to stay?
Right, I don't know. Yeah, he's not going to make it that much longer. Aww,
and then Vinny tries to leave and he can't get the seatbelt on.
That, I wanted to mention that scene because it approaches like the... It's not as good as some of the like classic scenes of total mundanity on TV, like Sideshow Bob just stepping on rakes over and over again, or like Peter Griffin rubbing his knee. But it gets close. It's just like a guy trying to use a seatbelt for like a minute. Like it really is. I love that kind of TV. Mm. They could have showed that for as long as they wanted, like him fumbling with the seatbelt, and I would have loved it. All right, so yeah, some old men are gone. Some new blood
is about to show up. Oh my god, y'all! It's D-Lo. Oh my god, Danielle comes down the stairs, and all the guys. It's like boners, just
boner
like,
city bang, spontaneously. Bang, bang, bang. It's like Evan Bass swept through the crowd. Yeah, no, I mean, she's good looking and seems like she's fun, but I feel like the reaction was disproportionate.
I think that often happens. Yeah, they're like doing cartoon eyes. Dean says on a scale of 1 to physically attractive, he'll take physically attractive for 500.
That doesn't even work, Dean.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Right, you don't take something on a scale. That's not how Jeopardy works, Dean Unglaut.
You can ask Parampom. Taylor's steady old
Derek
is
getting
like,
a little hot under his
collar. Cause they're like, well, who could she ask out that wouldn't go, and like, or like who's committed? And Derek's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I don't know, guys.
Yeah, a girl walked in.
The semi that I'm sporting is telling me otherwise.
My boner's pointing at 12 o'clock.
Danielle. Okay, D-Lo. We'll call her D-Lo to differentiate between D-Lo and...
Though we're probably not going to say that much more about Danielle M anyway, but we might as well call her D-Lo.
We got to get to the Danielle M Wells
stuff. Sure, a little subplot.
Stuff. Just a little guy.
Just a little tiny Wells.
Just a little guy. You stick him in your pocket.
In your pocket.
D-Lo is interested in Dean and Ben. Hope you have a dog.
Right, she tries to talk to Ben, and Ben like starts the dog conversation.
I just wonder how much of that is editing. How can it be though? Like,
right,
he's saying it all.
Clearly, he talked that much about his dog. I mean, it may get to the point though where people hear and they're like, "So I hear you have a dog." Like, they might be egging him on a little bit,
right?
But still, yeah, that's a lot of. And listen, Ben, I'm sympathetic, man, but. That's a little too much dog talk even for me. And this is from someone whose dog is walking around in the background of this podcast right now, clicking her toenails all over the floor.
So what? We don't even know her real birthday. It's summer. This annoyed me too because Ben Z said this. And then Diggy, to some extent, says it too, where they basically just say that because D-Lo is here, any of the guys would just go out with her, that they would drop whatever girl they were with. Diggy tells Dean, after Dean says yes to a date with D-Lo, that he, quote, did what any guy would do, say yes to the dress. Again, doesn't really work. Like, I don't know where we're picking up these.
I liked that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes more sense than Dean's I'll take physically attractive for 500, but not too much. Yeah, I had that in my notes.
I mean, I think that also just confirms that these guys are not here to develop like serious relationships.
No.
If one girl walks down and they're all like, I would do whatever. Like, yeah.
I would set my head on fire.
All right, assholes.
Yeah. Well, and we read in Us Weekly that they were here for 11 days.
Yeah.
This entire season.
Which does put it more into perspective. Like, if you're there for 11 days.
Right. What is Derek and Taylor really going to develop in that?
I don't know. I saw a picture of them with Harrison on Instagram.
Whoa, that's everything.
It proves
everything.
Proves
that is proof positive right there.
Okay, so D'Lo ultimately chooses Dean. Adam says that Christina looks like a pissed off Russian nuclear warhead.
Yeah, when that metaphor works.
That does work. Yeah.
There you go.
We approve. Nailed it. Adam, you have the English teacher's approval. Yeah.
Danielle asks Dean about his tattoo, and he says that it's stupid.
That
which
sounds
is
cool.
Frustrating to me because I wanted a theory confirmed that Dean's arm tattoo is the Triforce from The Legend of Zelda, which I'm pretty sure it's like a triangle inside of another triangle.
You
I want to know.
Him and ask
yeah,
him.
Let's find out because that is my theory.
Do it.
Yeah, that it's the Triforce. In which case, yes, Dean, that is stupid, and you should not talk about it.
I think it says La Vie est belle. Okay. They go out on their date. I remembered why I dislike D'Lo. It's because she's a giggler. And she, like, everything she says, she's laughing. Like, they're kissing. She's laughing through the kiss.
She's giggling through the tea. Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
Shut up, D'Lo. It seems like a good date. They do hit it off. They definitely like full on make out.
Right.
But when they get back to the house, Dean goes back to Christina and tells her that there, quote, wasn't really romance involved. And then he says, we did have a little peck.
A little
peck. I want you to know that.
Just a little peck.
A little peck. That's what I call Wells.
It was an interesting conversation because, like, he didn't really seem to be looking at her a lot. Like, again, it was sort of like the immaturity factor of Dean. They did get into that stuff about being on TV with his dad, but they didn't really get a lot of depth there. And yeah, then the makeout happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back to Christina, and for a while, actually, this precedes the date. For a while, you think he's being a good guy when he goes to Christina to like talk to her about the date, but you realize that he's just trying to make sure that she's not mad at him.
Yeah, he's keeping her on the hook.
Right. Not that he's like, are you okay? What? Let's talk about where things go. It's really just like, are you mad at me?
Yes. And sure enough, Christina then says she's not stepping away or giving up yet because Dean has baited her just enough.
I don't know what happened in Kentucky, but
always happens in Kentucky.
It does seem like the most interesting things this season happened off camera during the
hiatus.
Right, because
Raven mentions that she and Sarah and Adam like meet up and go out
the night together.
She said that at the end of it, Adam was doing the raise the roof. Whoa.
Oh, he was raising the roof.
Oh, that's wild.
All right. Yeah. He had a lampshade on his head at one point.
Yay. So, Christina, I mean, Christina looks kind of like a fool because she gets her hopes back up, and rightfully so, because Dean tells her, you know, that the date wasn't really romantic. So I think she's feeling like, okay, you went out on this date, fine, but it didn't work out. Well, then here comes Dean with a motherfucking half birthday cake for Danielle.
Well, and it gets even worse because they're like, Christina and Dean are, like, flirting on the beach and, like, playing some sort of card forehead game that puts their faces right next to each other.
And then Dean comes back out, and he does this big, like, announcement.
Right.
Oh, my God, he was being such an asshole.
Yeah, no, it was way
like,
over the top.
I don't think that we in America celebrate half birthdays the way that we should. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but it was discovered today that it is actually Danielle's half birthday.
That's a good Dean impression.
It's not, but
it captures the spirit
of
Dean.
Because he was being a dick.
Yeah, he was being a dick.
So congratulations, Dean. I hope that Paradise was fun because you just screwed yourself on being Bachelor.
Right.
I guarantee
it's never gonna happen. Yeah, this was like a really bad job interview for him, basically.
To mine, you wear tuxedos to the interview. That's funny. It's ironic. I get that. You're kind of underplaying the whole formality of it. I think that's funny as hell. So let's do this. You know, you guys are hired. You're in, you know, unless you're like the weirdest guys ever and I don't see it.
Great.
Was that a fart?
I don't know.
I can taste it. On my tongue.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I did fart.
Is that onion? Onion and ketchup. It stinks. And this is a small room.
Shit.
Is
this where the episode splits? Oh, Christina goes and like collapses on the bed crying.
I know.
And,
like, she's really like sad. Sobbing and she's like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, in a really sad way.
Just pissed off a Russian buddy.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Okay. Next morning, Sarah shows up. She's described as bubbly and quirky.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I vaguely remember her.
I mean, I remember Sarah. She's cute. Vaguely. I do think that she's cute.
She seemed fine. And we have to note that her date card said, choose one of the men to go out on a date. Like, there was no pun, nothing clever.
Get ready to have a blast.
Yeah, just choose a man to go on a date.
And she does. The girls are pushing Ben on Sarah.
It's the hard sell.
Yeah, she compares it to being at a used car lot.
Yeah, it's the full court press.
She talks to Ben. First thing he tells her is that his dog is, quote, literally the best dog on the planet. First of all, Ben, false.
False. We have literally the two best dogs on the planet.
Yes. It is his dog's 8-month birthday. 2 months ago, I'm going to guess that he baked that dog a half birthday cake.
Yeah, watermelon with frosting on it.
Yeah. She, shockingly, is not persuaded after this conversation.
She's not wooed by this. Yeah, she can see why they were putting the full court press on. Someone please, dear God, take Ben away.
Well, I told you, I might have said this earlier in our podcast tonight, that I read in Us Weekly that the two men that they were like putting forward as like they could be the next Bachelor were Dean.
Right.
No.
Who's blown it.
But also Ben Z. Like, who is pushing for Ben Z to be the Bachelor?
Right. Nobody.
At this point.
No one even knows who Ben Z is. And I mean, Ben Z would just choose his dog.
He would.
In the end, for the fantasy suite.
Yeah. Oh. Come on.
Just to cuddle
Come on.
Up.
We didn't go there with Copper. Don't go there with Ben Z's dog.
Just to cuddle up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's always just to cuddle
right,
up.
Right, that's how it starts. That's how it started with Adam and Sarah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Adam and AJ.
That is how it started with Adam and AJ. All right, so...
Sarah asks out Adam.
Now, Raven gives her full approval to this, and then it seems that maybe she wasn't entirely honest about that approval.
But it also seems that perhaps Raven knew that she was violating girl code by asking Adam out.
Right.
Because when they all went out in Dallas, Sarah and Adam, when Raven came back downstairs the next morning, Sarah and Adam were cuddling on the couch. So I'm a little bit torn on whether or not it's an actual girl code violation because Sarah wasn't in paradise when Raven asked out Adam, but still, I always think
are there
think
no
it's,
rules in paradise?
I mean,
it's like international waters.
Have you no honor, madam? Adam seems to be grooving on Sarah. For as much as everybody loves Raven,
right.
Adam actually says that there's something that Sarah has that Raven just doesn't have.
Whoa. What is it? That special something?
I don't know. Maybe something in her hang down? Or what did she call it?
Stank on her hang down? Yeah. Yeah, we get that later as a sexual euphemism.
Maybe Raven asked Adam if he wanted to get some stank on his hang down, and that was
and he didn't understand,
too much.
Right, what she was saying.
They kiss. All right, Wells and Danielle are... chatting, being real
flirting
sweet.
It up, yeah. Apparently they have a long... time relationship.
Yeah, Wells said that they went on a date together like, what, 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah. Nothing happened.
But they make a deal that they're both going to date each other in 5 years if they're both still single.
Right. I'd like to see that play out. I'm going to follow I'm going to hold
them.
You to that, Wells. I like Wells.
I like Danielle. I feel like Danielle in this episode had calmed down a little bit. I felt like she was trying to be too crazy in the first episodes.
Yeah.
And that she, in this episode, she reminded me more of the Danielle from Nick's season, which I think seems to be more of her, like, true
who
personality.
She is, yeah.
Yeah, like, she was more subdued, a little quieter.
Uh-huh.
She made a mature decision to not stay in paradise and to go to Africa.
Yes, when go to Africa and do whatever it is
sleepy?
That
you're yawning a whole lot into the microphone.
Going to do.
I think everybody's appreciating that.
Yeah.
I know I am.
Yeah, everyone's enjoying it. It's really making the podcast fun and lively
yeah.
for the whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, she's going to Africa to work on some kind of mysterious, probably procuring blood diamonds.
Probably.
Over there. Yeah, almost certainly what she's up to. We forgot to mention something important earlier on, which is Alexis and Jasmine's hot tub antics.
You were a fan of that.
Well, I was mostly confused about the Daddy, Do You Want Some Sausage? Which we later looked up is from Freddy Got Fingered.
You looked it up.
We looked it up together. You watched the whole clip too.
No,
to find out what was going on. Well, and it was yet another instance of, you know, they show us them hitting each other in the trailer. And of course, you're like, well, that's fake. You know, it's clearly they're not fighting for real. But anyways, I wanted to circle back on that important note that everybody's really excited about and interested in.
Lacey is still here against all odds, or I guess simply because there hasn't been a rose ceremony where the women get cut.
Mostly, not against all odds, but against the certainty that she will soon be cut.
She seems to be basically annoying everyone, and I don't really know how, because when we see her, it's just in little clips. I mean, she does go from, like, 0 to 100 back to 0, so she's either, like, sobbing and complaining that she feels totally unliked by every person there. And then when Diggy says yes to the date, she's like, paradise is the best place ever. Right. Paradise can work. I'm proof of that. And then
everybody wants their own Lacey Diggy story. Well, she goes to like every single guy. It is kind of sad. Mm. Like goes to every single guy and like, would this be a friend date or a more than friends date?
And they're like, friendship?
Yeah, and then she had to check a box about whether they wanted to be more than friends.
And none of them want to.
Yeah, no one
except Diggy,
box.
Who later says, I wanted to make sure she had a good time. I feel like it's like when a like special needs kid asks somebody to prom or something. Because he's like, I wanted to make sure that she had a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean, she seems fine. I guess she just doesn't
about that. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. I think she's pretty. Mm-hmm. I think she seems like she has a decent personality. I mean, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I don't know why she is having
why she stands
such
out.
Bad
yeah.
luck. Because yeah. also, you know, Danielle M. also hasn't had good luck in Paradise, but the women like her and she seems to be having a good time.
Right.
The girls don't seem to like Lacey.
No, they don't seem to care for her for reasons that are somewhat unclear. But Lacey and Diggy do go out on a date with Jorge's Torres.
I didn't mean that in a bad way about the special needs.
No, I understand. No, you're saying like that there it's totally like sympathetic or like treating her like it's like paternalistic.
Yeah.
Or
like I just want to give you this moment that I think you deserve because you're so sweet and like
nobody else.
Like, I don't know. And it's maybe it is a little condescending of Diggy to say like when he's out on his real date with Dominique.
Right.
You know,
well, that's what your metaphor gets at is that it's good natured and well intentioned, but condescending nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go out on that date with Jorge's.
I looked it up. You and I could also take Jorge's Torres tour.
I would love that.
So I will. You would not because it involves horseback riding. But what,
maybe Jorge's could he find me a donkey? Could he find me an ATV
ride Jorge?
He tells them that the beach that he took them to is where he was conceived.
Yes. Do you think that that's true, or is that just part of the gimmick of the tour?
I don't know. You got to go on the tour to find out.
Is that really true? He also tells them that the champagne is cold as a penguin's butt, which would be more appropriate for Matt, I think. But
or for Rachel.
Yeah, or for Rachel.
Penguins.
Yeah.
All right, Dominique is here. Neither one of us remembered Dominique.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, but first Danielle leaves. We get told that Danielle is going to leave. Then Dominique comes. She's cute. I just don't remember her. I guess she's from Nick's season. She's got long braids that all the guys are loving.
She looks like a tropical princess.
She's got a nose ring. Lacey is quite upset because it becomes apparent almost immediately that Dominique has her eye on Diggy, and that everyone is kind of encouraging that.
Sure.
And
Taylor in particular.
Taylor, who is good friends with Dominique. I could understand Lacey's point of, like, I just came back from my date.
Right, like, literally
Dominique
just
is
got
here,
back.
And then suddenly, like, everybody is pushing. It's like it just didn't happen.
Right. Like, again, sort of to your metaphor, like, everyone was just treating her as, like, it's not a serious
It wasn't
contender.
Even a real date. Right. Yeah. Oh, poor Lacey. Dominique and Diggy do go out. They have a good date. It involves strawberries.
Yes, Diggy saying he's real jealous of that strawberry right now.
I don't like that whipped cream that they had. I think maybe because it was so hot and humid. It's like it had
too
the wrong
sticky.
Consistency.
Yeah, that's not right. Well, you also, this date had a lot of smacking kiss noises, which I know you hate. Yeah, that is not for you.
Yeah, if I wanted that, I'd watch Josh eat some pizza.
Right. Which, there's another pizza faux pas in this episode where the pizza gets dropped all over the beach.
Doesn't matter, because it's D'Lo. D'Lo can do whatever she wants.
She can do no wrong. Oops, I'm sorry.
Wells and Danielle. So Danielle packs up. She's leaving. Yep. She's heading out. Rocket Man style.
Packed my bags last night.
Pre-flight.
I was going more for the Shatner version.
There's a Shatner version of Rocket Man.
Are you unfamiliar with this?
I am.
Yeah, I'll deal with that after the show.
Packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m.
They played Rocket Man at the end of Space Camp when I went in eighth grade, and I cried.
Oh, yeah. It would not have been the Shatner version. It would not have brought you to tears. That's a sweet little story.
Sure.
Like the culmination of your Space Camp adventure. Yep. I wonder if they still play that for the kids.
I don't know. For the children. I don't know.
We need to go.
Wells and Danielle kiss. It's kind of like
a
big, like, end of the 90s movie moment.
Yeah. Well, and
best friends, a little bit Can't Buy Me Love.
You mean like an end of a '90s movie moment?
What did I say?
Not an end of the '90s movie moment. Like, not a movie that particularly takes place at the end of the '90s.
Yeah, sorry.
Gotcha. I want to make sure
the whole
decade. I
feel like you probably knew what I meant.
No, I want to make sure the whole decade gets credit. Sure. I want to make sure that I understood. If you were talking about like a Can't Hardly Wait moment.
Hack-e-sack. Oh, wait, that's not even Can't Hardly Wait.
That is, she's all that. Yeah, they. I mean, these are interchangeable movies.
I thought it was sweet. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how genuine it was.
Sure. Well, I guess if Danielle's going to Africa, what's the risk? Like, oh, we'll deal with this when you get home.
Well, she's already
we'll talk
back,
more
but
about
she
this.
Says that because she's like, well, then I might have to have a discussion when I get home.
How long was she in Africa? That's not to work in Africa if you're gone for like a week and a half.
I don't know.
Yeah, was she going to be a social media influencer over there?
I don't know.
Hey guys, you guys need Sugar Bear vitamins. Let me spread the message of Sugar
Has
Bear.
Has anybody ever told y'all about these shakes that you can eat?
Guys, there's this great company called Jorge's Torres.
Well, I don't know. Why don't you tweet Wells and ask him? You can
do
that right after you tweet Dean.
A lot of tweeting to do after this show.
That is the end of the paradise section. And then, I mean, briefly we can talk about the DeMario stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
we
fast-forwarded
through the sonogram.
Right, and Raven and Diggy and Adam and some other people came out and talked about nothing for a while. I mean, this was like 45 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah, and I think that what makes me so mad about it is they just seem really upset about... They seem to think that it was blown totally out of proportion. But you're on a TV show that, according to Chris Harrison, like, America watches.
Right. America is obsessed with.
So why is it shocking that if some very cloudy, like, something went down, but nobody's very forthcoming about what it was or what happened. Like, of course people are going to be talking about it. I just don't like how they act like, you know, the bloodthirsty media was...
They were all over it. And again, I mean, I didn't pay attention to a lot of the coverage, but my reaction was that the coverage seem to be exactly what they thought happened, which was just like something kind of shady happened where DeMario and Corinne may not have been able to give full consent to a sexual encounter and they needed to investigate it. Like, that's how I thought it was covered. Maybe I just wasn't reading the more sensationalist things, but...
No, I mean, I saw some things that were more... that were more sensationalized. I mean, but yeah, I feel like, especially after about 3 or 4 days, it did seem like that was the story that was being put forth.
Right,
And I also think, I guess, I mean, it sucks that production had to shut down, but better safe than sorry. And like, maybe that's a good lesson for them to learn in terms of, I don't know, like, how things need to happen on the show.
Right, right. I mean, clearly they were being, not DeMario and Corinne, but production was being a little bit irresponsible for things to get out of this control in this way. And clearly someone was concerned
someone
about this
situation.
Someone
thought it wasn't right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I would like, I would be content with this whole thing that they have, you know, for as much as they lament it being out in the media and everybody's getting it wrong, they sure are using it for hours and hours of the show.
Of course.
The only reason that, or the only way that I would feel that it was truly well-rounded is if they also interviewed whoever the producer was.
Right,
that,
who was concerned about, get the investigative team out to talk about it. And that's, I mean, so... We can gloss over the little thing with the Paradise guests and Evan and Carly. And the DeMario stuff even, I thought he explained himself well.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, you know, he comes off as sympathetic.
Right. I don't have even that much to say about it anymore. It's almost like I feel like they had an investigation. Obviously, it's an in-house investigation with all kinds of potential for bias, but like they found that, to their satisfaction, nothing bad happened. Like, I'm really fine not talking about this anymore.
Well,
you know,
I am too, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. But I think too, I don't like the idea that just because they invite DeMario on the show and he's crying because of his mom, that that must mean that nothing wrong happened.
Sure.
You know, right. I mean, I'm sure that the Stanford swimmer guy would cry to think about the pain that he caused his mom. I feel like they're trying to push too hard this narrative of, like, it was a hugely overblown thing and nothing bad happened at all.
Right.
Which makes me think that might not be true.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? They seem to be very much, like, trying to cover their asses, but while simultaneously trying to play it for ratings and interest.
Right.
Again, I mean, whatever. They looked into it. I don't know what happened. I don't have any judgments at all as far as who's in the wrong or anything. I just don't have enough information to make that kind of decision.
You and I have also said, I think that it's in very poor taste to be doing this all in a single show.
Right.
Like, if you actually thought that it was worth the time, I think that they should have, like, a separate night, like a Wednesday night 30-minute special.
Good God.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, it feels very... it just lacks cohesion to be like, here's Evan and Carly in their sonogram.
Right.
They're having a girl.
Right.
Now we're going to talk to DeMario about what consent means.
Right, right.
You know, I mean,
well, and
it's incongruous.
Yeah,
How do you say that word? Incongruous.
I think you've got it.
Incongruous.
That sounds right.
Incongruous.
Me. Incongruous.
Incongruous.
I'm like Whitney on Southern Charm.
As we pointed out, they're just like... inequipped to handle this kind of thing. I mean, this show has always been ill-equipped to handle this kind of thing, and it was inevitably going to happen. I mean, they didn't even handle very well when, like, Jake and Vienna, like, threatened to get violent. You know, I just feel like they can't handle, like, serious stuff. And, of course, it's not a serious show, despite people finding love and marriage. It's fundamentally a ridiculous show, and when you bring in serious topics like this, it's just they can't.
Can't handle
it. It's the wrong venue for this kind of thing. So, but yeah, DeMario talked for a while. He seemed likable. He gave clear answers. He wasn't evasive like he was with the girlfriend situation on Rachel's episode. So, like I said, I don't know what happened. I don't really have any judgments about who's in the wrong.
There's only one person that does know, and that's God.
You mean Chris Harrison?
So chill. Let my father do his job.
All right, well, we'll be back next week for more discussion of whatever happens and doesn't happen, and then whatever nonsense filler comes between the things that doesn't happen.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. All right,
goodbye.
Gang.
Goodbye.
What's the matter with your life? Why you gotta mess with mine? Don't keep sweating what I do, cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out. If I wanna take a dive, home with me tonight. Nothing to do, then worry about my friends. Check it,
I can't do nothing, girl, without somebody bugging. I used to think that it was me, but now I see it wasn't. They told me to change and call me names, and so I popped one. Opinions are like assholes, and everybody's got one. I never poke my nose where I'm not supposed to. Believe me, if it's something that I want, I'm stepping closer. I'm not one for playing high pole like the Hossa Diddy 90210 type of hoe. I treat a man like he treats me. The difference between a hooker and a hoe ain't nothing but a feat. So hold your tongue tightly. You could be like me. You're popping all that mess, only to stress and to spite me. And you could get with that or you could get with this, but I don't give a shit, cause really it's none of your business.
1993, S&P, packing and macking, bamboozling and smacking suckers with this track in. Throw the beat back in.
If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight,
it's none of your business.
And if she wanna be a freaking, sell it on a weekend,
it's none of your business.
Now you shouldn't even get into who I'm giving skins to.
It's none of your business.
So don't try to change my mind. I tell you one more time.
It's none of your business.
How many rules am I to break before you understand that your double standards don't mean shit to me? I know exactly what you say when I turn it.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.